Welcome to the Utica Phoenix Deep Dive. Today we're diving into something, it might sound like a small change, like some paperwork got shuffled around, but it actually carries a lot of historical weight.
Right.
It has to do with the recent removal of a ban, a federal ban on segregated facilities for federal contractors.
Wow.
So for decades, if you wanted to work with the U.S. government, you couldn't have separate waiting rooms or water fountains, even separate transportation based on race or gender identity.
Right.
And that very explicit rule, that's gone now.
Interesting.
So in this deep dive, what we're going to be exploring is what this change really entails.
Okay.
You know, what were the arguments for getting rid of it?
Yeah.
And why legal experts and civil rights advocates are raising some serious concerns. Our mission today is to cut through the jargon and help you understand what this means, what it doesn't necessarily mean, and why it's such a good example of how our democracy works.
Yeah.
It's a good window into that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be looking back at why this ban was even put in place in the first place.
Right.
We're going to examine the legal landscape as it stands now and then consider the potential implications of this policy change.
Yeah.
There's many layers to this issue.
Right.
I have the legal aspect. We have the historical symbolism.
Uh-huh.
Then the procedural questions about how the change was made.
Right.
And the practical impacts, you know, on contractors and employees.
Yeah, let's start by unpacking the history. You know, this ban on segregated facilities, this wasn't a brand new idea.
Right.
This has roots.
It does.
This goes way back.
It does.
Tell me about it.
Absolutely. The original ban goes back 60 years.
Wow.
To 1965.
Okay.
President Lyndon Johnson issued an executive order on non-discrimination, specifically aimed at federal contractors.
Okay.
And this was a really significant move following the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Yeah.
It was part of a broader push to actively promote integration after a really long period of legally enforced segregation in this country.
So the specific rule that's been removed, this is tucked away in the federal regulations, right?
Yeah, it's clause 52.22221 of the Federal Acquisition Regulation, the FAR.
Right.
But the title is pretty straightforward. It's called Prohibition of Segregated Facilities.
Right.
And the language in that clause was very clear.
Okay.
It explicitly stated that contractors could not maintain or provide segregated facilities for their employees. And it wasn't just about race.
Right.
Although that was certainly central to its historical context.
Our sources indicate it covered quite a range of categories.
It did, yeah.
What?
The clause specifically lists race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or national origin as prohibited grounds for segregation.
Wow.
And it applied very broadly to different types of facilities, work areas, cafeterias, even things as basic as drinking fountains, as well as transportation and housing provided by the contractor.
Okay.
It was a comprehensive directive aimed at ensuring that federal contractors fostered integrated environments.
So it sounds like this clause was a real tool, a concrete tool that the government used to try to push for integration.
Right.
By setting very clear expectations for anybody who wanted to work with the federal government.
Absolutely.
So now here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Why remove it now?
Right.
What was the rationale?
Yeah.
What did the Trump administration say about this?
Well, the change came about through President Trump's executive order called Ending Illegal Discrimination and Restoring Merit-Based Opportunity, which was signed in January of 2025.
Okay.
And then following that in February, the General Services Administration, the GSA, issued a memo.
Okay.
This memo directed all civil agencies to stop including that prohibition of segregated facilities clause in any new contracts or solicitations.
And what was the reasoning behind this?
Right.
Why did they do this?
The administration argued that this action was meant to eliminate what they called discrimination against other Americans, including white people and men. They also argued that the existing Civil Rights Act of 1964 already makes segregation illegal.
Okay.
So this specific clause was unnecessary.
Yeah.
And a bureaucratic burden.
So they're saying it's redundant in a way?
They framed it as part of a larger effort to reduce regulations on businesses.
It's a fascinating argument.
Yeah.
So the argument is that a rule against segregation is somehow discriminatory.
Yeah.
It feels like a new way to look at this.
Right.
And we also heard that the way this change was implemented raised some eyebrows.
Yeah, that's a really critical point.
Like, how so?
This change was implemented without going through the usual process of public notice and comment that typically accompanies big regulatory shifts.
Right.
This lack of transparency, you know, and opportunity for the public to weigh in has been a major source of criticism.
Right.
And it raises questions about due process.
Yeah.
And whether all perspectives were considered.
Absolutely. So let's look into some of the reactions and concerns that have emerged, because it's fair to say this hasn't been universally welcomed.
Yeah, that would be an understatement.
So what are people saying?
Well, civil rights attorney Ben Crump said, while segregation is still illegal, this change sends a clear message.
Right.
And the emphasis on the word message here is key.
Yeah.
Even if the underlying illegality of segregation hasn't changed, the removal of this specific ban in federal contracts carries a powerful symbolic weight.
Right.
So what kind of message do you think it sends when you remove a very explicit prohibition like that?
That's a good question. We also heard from a constitutional law professor, Melissa Murray, at NYU. Mm-hmm. And she described this move as largely symbolic, but incredibly meaningful in its symbolism.
Right.
She really highlighted the historical significance of this clause as a tool to actively facilitate integration. You know, the fact that it's being removed, she argued, speaks volumes about a potential shift in priorities.
Absolutely.
So it's really interesting how that symbolism is being interpreted.
Yeah.
You know, for civil rights advocates, it feels like a step backwards, almost like a weakening of the government's commitment to preventing even the appearance of segregation.
Right.
You know, especially in places where there's federal dollars involved.
Yeah.
And it raises concerns about whether the spirit of integration will be upheld as strongly without this very explicit directive.
Right.
We also got a perspective from someone working within the federal government.
Right.
An anonymous federal worker spoke to NPR, and they had some pretty strong feelings about this.
Oh, really?
They called this, the way this was implemented, they called it essentially subverting democracy.
Wow.
Because it bypassed all of the usual review and public comment processes.
Right.
So that really underscores the concern around how policy decisions are made. So how does bypassing these processes, how does that impact our democratic system?
Well, I think that speaks to some core principles of checks and balances and transparency within a democracy.
Okay.
These processes, you know, they sometimes seem like red tape, but they're in place to ensure that changes to policies are carefully considered.
Yeah.
That different voices are heard and that there's accountability.
Right.
When you bypass that, it can lead to policies that don't really reflect the needs or the values of the public.
Right.
And it can erode trust in how decisions are made.
Right. And Cara Sassolato, who is a federal contracts attorney, she offered a possible reason why this specific clause was targeted.
Okay.
And she speculated that it might be because the Obama administration had updated it to include gender identity.
Uh-huh.
And that this was a way of rescinding that, that specific addition.
Yeah.
But as NPR pointed out, the memo from the GSA didn't just remove the reference to gender identity.
Right.
It removed the entire clause, including all the prohibitions against segregation.
Okay.
Based on race, religion, all these other protected categories.
Mm.
So this broader removal raises even more questions about the intent.
It does.
So Ibrahim Hooper from Cheerer warned against turning back the clock.
Yeah.
And he stressed that in a nation as divided as ours is now, any action that could be perceived as condoning racial segregation is deeply concerning.
Right.
It's unwelcome.
Absolutely.
What are the potential real-world consequences of sending that message? Even if it's unintentional.
Right.
The message that segregation is maybe less of a concern now.
I mean, that's a critical point.
Yeah.
Even if segregation is still illegal under broader federal law, the removal of this specific ban in federal contracts could have practical implications.
Oh, like what?
Well, will it weaken the enforcement of non-discrimination standards on the ground?
Right.
Will it signal to contractors that this is no longer a priority?
Yeah.
You know, potentially leading to less vigilance and ensuring integrated facilities.
Yeah.
These are valid concerns that civil rights advocates are raising.
Right.
It highlights how specific regulations can be important tools for translating broad legal principles into concrete actions.
So let's zoom out for a second.
Okay.
Think about the bigger picture. How does this whole situation connect to how democracies function?
Right.
It feels like a really good example.
It does.
Of a few key aspects of a democracy.
Absolutely.
Like what?
Well, firstly, I think it highlights the power of executive orders in shaping policy.
Okay.
When you have a change in administration, it can lead to swift and sometimes significant shifts in regulations based on these directives.
Right.
It demonstrates how quickly established policies, even ones with a long history and seemingly broad support, can be altered.
Right.
And this raises questions about stability
uh-huh.
and predictability of policy when it relies so heavily on executive action.
So the way this particular change was made, without the public notice and comment period,
right.
this brings up big questions.
It does, about transparency and due process for regulatory changes within a democratic system.
Absolutely.
Ideally, these processes allow for wider societal input.
Right.
And a more deliberate and considered approach to policymaking.
Right.
So what are the downsides? What happens when we bypass those processes?
When you bypass those processes, it can lead to a lack of public trust because it can appear that decisions are being made without adequate scrutiny.
Yeah.
Or consideration of different perspectives.
Okay.
And it can also result in policies that have unintended consequences or that don't really address the issues that they were intended to tackle.
Right.
Simply because the perspectives of those who would be most affected were not taken into account.
Yeah.
It kind of undermines that principle of government by the people and for the people.
Right. You know, the different interpretations and reactions that we see in the administration saying this is about reducing burden, and then others who have very real concerns about civil rights.
Yeah. It really underscores how vital it is to have diverse voices. Robust public scrutiny in a democracy.
So important.
It's through that kind of open debate and engagement that we can hopefully arrive at policies that reflect our values and protect our fundamental rights.
Exactly. Yeah. It also highlights how even with those foundational laws in place, like the Civil Rights Act, these more specific regulations and contract clauses can serve as crucial layers of protection and reinforcement.
Yeah.
You know, they provide concrete mechanisms for ensuring that those principles that are enshrined in the law are actually put into practice in specific contexts like federal contracting, which involves a huge portion of our economy.
Right.
So removing those, even if the underlying law remains, could potentially weaken that overall framework of civil rights enforcement.
So this feels like one of those moments where we as listeners, as citizens, need to be informed. We need to be engaged.
It's so important.
So it brings us to this idea of a call to action.
Okay.
What could somebody listening to this do? What would be a constructive step?
I think the most important first step is to stay informed about these kinds of policy changes.
Okay.
You know, understand the details, the history behind them, the arguments being made.
Okay.
But beyond that, engaging with your elected officials.
Right.
At all levels of government.
Uh-huh.
Local, state, federal.
Right.
You know, share your perspective on issues of civil rights and government regulations.
Yeah.
That's such a fundamental way to participate in a democracy.
Right.
Let them know what your priorities and concerns are.
Yeah.
That can have a real impact.
Right. And I think you're right. You know, doing a little more research, digging into the history of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and just the broader history of segregation in the U.S.
Yeah.
That could really give people a good context for understanding why this seemingly small change might actually carry so much weight.
Absolutely.
Knowing our history helps us understand the present and the future.
Education and active participation are really the cornerstones of a healthy democracy.
Yeah.
Understanding those foundations of our civil rights protections and the various mechanisms that support them allows for a much more informed and effective engagement in this ongoing dialogue about equality and justice.
Well, that was a deep dive into the removal of the federal ban on segregated facilities for federal contractors.
It was.
We've explored the historical context. We've talked about the Trump administration's reasons for the change and the huge reactions and concerns that have been prompted.
Yeah, it's a complex issue.
Yeah.
And it has profound symbolic weight.
Right.
You know, I think it serves as a powerful reminder that vigilance is so important.
Right.
And understanding our rights and how our democracy works is absolutely crucial.
Now more than ever.
Right.
The Deep Dive is produced by the always insightful David Laguerre.
And thank you for joining us for this important discussion.
We invite you to tune in next time for another in-depth exploration of the issues shaping our world, and maybe take a moment to consider what it means when a long-standing rule against segregation is removed. It's a question worth pondering.